Pad Paramhansa Priprajakacharya Stotra Stasi Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Kijai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramhansa Priprajakacharya Stotra Stasi Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Prabhupada Kijai Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Kijai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Sham Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Dham Kijai Navadweep Dham Kijai Jamuna Mai Kijai Ganga Mai Kijai Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Well, before I read from Srimad Bhagavatam, I will speak about the month of Kartik, which is also known as the month of Damodar. Dama means rope, and Udara means abdomen or belly. So Damodar is the form of Krishna, who was tied with ropes around his abdomen by Mother Yashoda. Within the day, the early hour mornings, called Brahma Muhurta, are most auspicious for spiritual practices. And similarly, within the year, the month of Kartik is most auspicious for spiritual practices. And the value of the service that one performs during the month of Kartik is multiplied a thousand times. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of a sale in a store. Often when a store opens, it has a sale. And for paying a less amount, one gets an item of greater value. Similarly, in the month of Damodar, by a relatively small investment in one's spiritual practices, one gets a great return. And in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada's summary study of Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the observance of Kartik, or the month of Damodar, is one of the 64 items of devotional service. And the Nectar of Devotion says that just as Lord Damodar is pleased with even a little service, so the month of Damodar gives great results for even a small performance of devotional service. And as with a sale in a store, of course, the store hopes that after the sale is over, you'll be attached to what the store has to offer. And so similarly, we hope that after the month of Kartik, you will continue with your spiritual practices. Often devotees take vows in the month of Kartik. They may increase their service, increase their number of rounds, increase their reading, increase their book distribution, and they also take vows to reduce their sense gratification. Some devotees, whatever, they might eat only once a day, or they might give up sweets. So it's a personal matter how each of us wants to observe the month of Damodar, what vows one wants to take, Kartik Vrata. Certainly one will get great spiritual benefit from such performances. So now I will read from Srimad Bhagavatam. I will read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9. Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna. But first I will read the chapter summary. Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna. While Mother Yashoda was allowing Krishna to drink her breast milk, she was forced to stop because she saw the milk pan boiling over on the oven. The maid servants, being engaged in other business, stopped allowing Krishna to drink from her breast and immediately tended to the overflowing milk pan. Krishna became very angry because of his mother's behavior and devised a means of breaking the pots of yogurt. Because he created this disturbance, Mother Yashoda decided to bind him. These incidents are described in this chapter. So that's the first paragraph is sort of a summary, and then Srila Prabhupada elaborates further. One day, the maid servants being engaged in other work, Mother Yashoda was turning the yogurt into butter herself. And in the meantime, Krishna came and requested her to allow him to suck her breast milk. Of course, Mother Yashoda immediately allowed him to do so. But then she saw that the hot milk on the oven was boiling over, and therefore she immediately stopped allowing Krishna to drink the milk from her breast and went to stop the milk on the oven from overflowing. Krishna, however, having been interrupted in his business of sucking the breast, was very angry. He took a piece of stone, broke the churning pot, and entered a room where he began to eat the freshly churned butter. When Mother Yashoda, after attending to the overflowing milk, returned and saw the pot broken, she could understand that this was the work of Krishna, and therefore she went to search for him. When she entered the room, she saw Krishna standing on the ulupala, a large mortar for grinding spices. Having turned the mortar upside down, he was stealing butter hanging from a swing and distributing the butter to the monkeys. As soon as Krishna saw that his mother had come, he immediately began to run away, and Mother Yashoda began to follow him. After going some distance, Mother Yashoda was able to catch Krishna, and because of his offense was crying. Mother Yashoda, of course, threatened to punish Krishna if he acted that way again, and she decided to bind him with rope. Unfortunately, when the time came to knot the rope with which she wanted to bind him was short by a distance equal to the width of two fingers. When she made the rope longer by adding another rope, she again saw that it was short by two fingers. Again and again she tried, and again she found the rope too short by two fingers. Thus she became very tired, and Krishna, seeing his affectionate mother so tired, allowed himself to be bound. Now, being compassionate, he did not show her his unlimited potency. After Mother Yashoda bound Krishna and became engaged in other household affairs, Krishna observed two Yamal Arjuna trees, which were actually Nalakuvara and Manigriva, two sons of Kuvera who had been condemned by Narada Muni to become trees. Krishna, by his mercy, now began to proceed toward the trees to fulfill the desire of Narada Muni. So you can see many of these, the elements of this pastime are included in the Dhammadharastika. So now I will read Canto 10, Chapter 9, Mother Yashoda Binds Lord Krishna, Text 18. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sva Matu Svina Gatraya Visrasta Kabara Shraja Dristva Parishramam Krishna Kripayasit Svabandhane Svamatu Svinagatraya Visrasta Kavarasraja Drishva Parishramam Krishna Kripaya Sit Svabandhane Svamatu Svinagatraya Visrasta Kabarasraja Drishva Parishramam Krishna Kripaya Sit Svabandhane Svamatu Svinagatraya Visrasta Kabarasraja Drishva Parishramam Krishna Kripaya Sit Svabandhane Ladies, Svamatu Svinagatraya Visrasta Kavarasraja Visvaparishramam Krishna Kripaya Sit Svabandhane Svamatu of his own mother, Krishna's mother, Yashoda Devi, Svinagatraya. When his mother saw his mother, when Krishna saw his mother perspiring, all over, because of unnecessary labor. Vishrasta were falling down. Kabara from her hair. Shraja of whom the flowers. Drishva by seeing the condition of his mother. Parishramam. He could understand that she was now overworked and feeling fatigued. Krishna,
Krishna,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Kripaya,
Kripaya,
by His causeless mercy,
by His causeless mercy,
upon His devotee and mother, Asit, agreed, Sabandhane, in binding him. Translation. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Please repeat. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor,
her whole body became covered with perspiration,
and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued,
he became merciful to her
and agreed to be bound. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When Mother Yashoda and the other ladies finally saw that Krishna, although decorated with many bangles and other jeweled ornaments, could not be bound with all the ropes available in the house, they decided that Krishna was so fortunate that he could not be bound by any material condition. Thus, they gave up the idea of binding him. But in competition between Krishna and his devotees, Krishna sometimes agrees to be defeated. Thus, Krishna's internal energy, Yoga Maya, was brought to work, and Krishna agreed to be bound by Mother Yashoda. Translation again. Because of Mother Yashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. So this verse, this incident, and in particular this verse, have been commented on by our previous acharyas. And they explain that the width of two fingers, by which the rope was too short, was covered by a combination of two things. One was parishram, which means hard labor or endeavor, and the other was Krishna Kripa, Krishna's mercy. So when the combination of these two meet, parishram, our hard labor, and Krishna Kripa, Krishna's mercy, that distance of two fingers by which the ropes were too short, became covered, and Krishna agreed to be bound. We can utilize this principle in all of our
devotional activities, this required combination of Parishram, our own endeavor, and Krishna Kripa, Krishna's mercy. For example, when we chant japa, we are trying to bind Krishna in our mind, which is generally quite difficult. But by that combination of Parishram, our strong endeavor, and Krishna Kripa, Krishna's mercy, he can be bound. And the same principle applies in all of our activities in devotional service. So Krishna is very merciful, but he also wants to see us endeavor. As Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna, of course, he could have defeated all of the Kauravas at the Battle of Kurukshetra, but he didn't do so because he wanted Arjuna to fight and take the credit. Yes, Krishna allows us to endeavor on his behalf, and then by his mercy, we become successful. And our endeavor should be constant. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami gives the definition of pure devotional service. Anya bilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishna anushilam bhakti rutama. So anu has two meanings. One is following, like we are followers of Rupa Goswami, so we are rupanugas. And anu also means continuous. So pure devotional service is a continuous activity. So anya vilasita sunyam. Anya means other, and vilas means desire. So anya vilas means one should have no other desire besides to serve Krishna. But Rupa Goswami has added the suffix ita, anya vilasita sunyam. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains the significance of that suffix ita to mean that under ordinary circumstances, one has no other desire but to serve Krishna. But in an extreme situation, for example, if one's life is being threatened, one may pray for protection. And that prayer for protection is not a violation of the principle of pure devotional service because of that suffix ita, anya vilasita sunyam. Generally, under ordinary circumstances, one has no other desire. Anya vilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. And one's devotional service is not covered by karma, jnana, or any other process. In other words, pure devotional service is independent. It does not require any performance of karma, jnana, yoga, or any other such thing to be successful. But to the contrary, karma, jnana, and yoga require some touch of bhakti to be successful. So, anyavilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena. Anukul means favorable. So devotional service should be favorable to Krishna's pleasure. Once, in the early days of ISKCON in New York City, there was a landlord named Mr. Payne, who he offered to give the devotees the property, but actually he wanted to cheat them. So one day, Mr. Payne phoned Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said, "Oh, Mr. Payne, I was just thinking of you." And afterwards, the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, "Is that true that you were thinking of Mr. Payne?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, just like Kamsa was always thinking of Krishna." So now, Kamsa was Krishna conscious. He was always thinking of Krishna, but not favorably. So that condition of anukul was not fulfilled. Kamsa was Krishna conscious, no doubt. He was always thinking of Krishna, but not favorably. And therefore, his thinking of Krishna cannot be counted as a pure devotional service. So, anya vilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena Krishna, Krishna, that means in relation to Krishna. But again, Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion explained that Krishna does not refer to Krishna alone, but Krishna refers to Krishna's name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, and his devotees. Rupa Goswami explains that all the different items of devotional service that can be performed in relation to Krishna can also be performed in relation to Krishna's devotees. So Krishna includes a lot. So, anyabhilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena Krishna anushilanam. So, shilanam means cultivation. It's a cultivation. And anu, as I mentioned, it means continuous. It's a continuous cultivation. And also, anu means following. So, it's a cultivation of following the ways of the great authorities. So, Krishna anushilanam bhakti rutama, that is pure devotional service. So, our goal is to engage in pure devotional service. And we can do so very easily. Srila Prabhupada has given us the process, and we just have to meet these requirements. Anyavilasita sunyam. We should not engage in devotional service for some material gain. That would not be pure devotional service, and that would not really satisfy us. Savaipum samparo dharmo yato bhaktir adhopsaje. Ahaituki apatiyatayayatma suprasediti. That to satisfy the self, a devotional service should be unmotivated and uninterrupted. Then yayatma suprasediti, then we will be satisfied. And we will not want anything else except more devotional service. As Dhruva Maharaj prayed, Swamin Kritarthosmi Varam Nayache. Dhruva Maharaj, it's a long story, and I hope many of you know the history of Dhruva Maharaj. But Dhruva Maharaj was the son of the king, and the king had two co-wives. And once Dhruva was playing on the lap of the king, and the king's co-wife, not Dhruva's mother, chided him that you cannot play on the lap of the king because you are not born from my womb. So Dhruva was very despondent, disappointed, and he went to his mother, Suruchi, and asked her, what is the meaning of this? And his mother replied that that your father has two wives, and the other wife is his favorite. But Dhruva, he had that Kshatriya spirit. He was very determined that he wanted his father's kingdom. So he asked his mother, what can I do, you know, to get my father's kingdom? And, you know, who can help me? And his mother replied that, you know, many saintly persons go to the forest in search of God. And if you can realize God, then he can help you. So Dhruva went into the forest. He was only 5 years old. And he performed very severe penances and austerities to the extent that within 6 months, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, appeared to him. And he asked Dhruva Maharaj what benediction he could give you. And Dhruva Maharaj replied that, seeing you, I am completely satisfied. I do not want any benediction. Swamin Kritarthosmi Varam Nayache. And the Lord said, but what about your kingdom? You came into the forest to perform austerities to get your kingdom. And Dhruva Maharaj replied, now that I have gotten you, who are the most precious jewel, that kingdom seems to me like pieces of broken glass, which has no value. Of course, in the end, the Lord did give Dhruva the kingdom. But the idea is that Dhruva was satisfied just by the Lord. Swamin Kritarthosmi Varam Niyache. My Lord, I am completely satisfied. I do not want any benediction. So if we engage in devotional service properly, Anyabhilasita Sunyam, as defined by Rupa Goswami, and, you know, Savaipam Samparo Dharma, we will feel satisfied and we will not want anything material. We will want only more service. And then that means we are liberated. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, devotees who engage in Krishna consciousness are automatically liberated without any separate endeavor. And whenever we get time, we should chant Hare Krishna. In one talk in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada said, if you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. Don't speak nonsense. Chant Hare Krishna. So we should always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So thank you very much, Hare Krishna. And now, if any of you have any questions or comments, reflections, yes, you can raise your hand. Do you have a traveling microphone?
Thank you very much, Maharaj. You've given wonderful understanding of this wonderful past tense of Lord Krishna. You are 100% following the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. I'm very happy to see you. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that that Krishna when Mother Yashoda and the other ladies finally saw that Krishna, although decorated with many bangles and other jewel ornament, would not be bound with all the rope available in the house, they decided that Krishna was so fortunate that he could not be bound by any material condition. So I would like to know about this. I was unable to understand that. Here it says that Prabhupada, although decorated with many bangles and other jewels, ornaments, could not be bound with all the ropes available in the house, they decided that Krishna was so fortunate that he could not be bound by any material condition. That is, I was just wondering.
Yeah, the idea is that Mother Yashoda was able to put bangles on Krishna's wrists. She was able to put jewelry around him. In the morning, when she would dress Krishna, she would tie like a belt around his waist. She never had any trouble making the belt fit around his waist. So that was the usual situation. But this situation became most unusual, that although she could bind him around the waist with, you know, this much cloth, now with all the ropes in the whole cowherd community, she still couldn't bind him. That was his, you could say, mystic opulence. But then that combination, Parishram, her endeavor, and Krishna Kripa, Krishna's mercy, he allowed himself to be bound.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Could you recognize me?
Sorry?
Could you recognize me?
Recognize you, Dhanvantari?
Tell, I'm so happy.
How could I ever forget you? I cannot forget you for one moment.
I want just 1 minute. while you crossing in front of me, you looking my face, that is my big portion of blessing from you. While you crossing, you looking my face, you are telling, you are wishing me, that is my from you portion of blessings.
Okay. Thank you. There was a question over here. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a nice class. Maharaj, as you quoted the words spoken by Dhruva Maharaj, Swamin Kritarthasmi Varam Nayache. So as we know that this verse is not in Bhagavatam but in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In Bhagavatam, when Dhruva Maharaj finishes his prayers, the personality of Godhead says, "My dear Dhruva, son of the king, you have executed pious vows and I also know the desire within your heart. Although your desire is very ambitious and very difficult to fulfill, I shall favor you with its fulfillment, all good fortune unto you." So these two verses, one is in Chaitanya Charitamrita where he does not want anything, he is satisfied. But Bhagavatam says that although he prayed, and in the last verse of his prayer, Satyasi Shohi Bhagwans, there he says that to people like me, ignorant people like me, you give all the protection. And then Lord fulfilled his desire. So how do we reconcile these two statements?
Well, the verse, Swamin Kritarthasmi Varam Nayache, is in Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, comes originally in Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. And Dhruva Maharaj, as we mentioned, he did, after meeting the Lord, he didn't really care for the kingdom. He was fully satisfied with the Lord. But the Lord gave him the kingdom anyway, but with the benediction that he would not forget the Lord. One of the difficulties with opulence is that one may forget the Lord. And we find that in other instances also with Sudama Brahman, that he was afraid of opulence because he didn't want to forget the Lord. But the Lord gave him opulence plus the benediction that he would never forget the Lord. Could always remember the Lord. So by giving Dhruva the kingdom and the benediction that he would always remember the Lord, he fulfilled Dhruva's desire and also made Dhruva an example of how one can be a God-conscious ruler. So, yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj.
I just, as a side note, when I first began to, when I first met Srila Prabhupada in Boston and began to come to the lectures every day, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, he would speak at the temple, and Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, he would speak outside, usually at a university. And Sunday would be the Sunday program. So, I was hearing him speak about the value of service to God, and I asked him, you know, what is the relationship between service to God and service to man? And Srila Prabhupada replied by narrating this story of Dhruva Maharaj in brief. And he said that if you give someone something that makes him so satisfied that he doesn't want anything else, is that not a good service to man?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you Maharaj for a nice class. Maharaj, you mentioned that two things are required, the Kripa and Avaparishram. So how we understand that Avaparishram is in proper direction, very soon going to achieve the Kripa of Krishna?
Yes. Well, our endeavor, again, Anukulyena, Krishna Anushilanam, should be a continuous cultivation following the authorities. Yeah, we cannot speculate. Like once I met a very wealthy man in Bombay, one of the Mafatlals actually, and he was trying to impress me with how pious and religious he was, and he said that he doesn't even drink tea without putting tulsi in it. So that is a speculation. We don't drink tea, I mean, obviously. And tea is not a proper environment for tulsi in any case. So yeah, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya, we basically are guided by these three authorities, Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru. And if we have any doubt about the direction we're going in, of course we consult Shastra, but if there's some doubt still, we can approach the Guru or the other devotees, sadhus, and ask their advice. Am I going in the right direction? Yeah. And then when it's confirmed, it's good. Srila Prabhupada said if a group of devotees who are experienced in devotional service and are your well-wishers tell you something, you should take it as coming from Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you have spent a lot of time with Srila Prabhupada. There may be many unforgettable, memorable moments with Srila Prabhupada. So, wanted to know few moments which you have shared with Prabhupada, which, you know, you still remember. Of course, there are all the memories you remember, but still one or two which you feel that, you know, which has changed completely, which has transformed you, or some two points.
Yeah, my first meeting with Srila Prabhupada completely transformed my life. I had been searching for a guru. I mean, to go back a little bit, in high school, I had the desire to achieve perfect happiness. And then I realized that one could not achieve perfect happiness materially, but only spiritually. And then further, I realized that one could not progress spiritually without a guru. So then my quest became to find a guru. And I met so many gurus, or so-called gurus. But I was not really satisfied with any of them. And then I met Srila Prabhupada, and I asked him that there's so many swamis and yogis, and each one says that his way is the best. So how do I know which is actually the best? And Srila Prabhupada replied most intelligently, "What is your goal?" Because I was asking, what is the best means? But the best means to what end? So he said, what is your goal? Do you want to become God or do you want to serve God? And at that time, I had the idea to become God. And he convinced me thoroughly that I could not become God. And he said that if you want to serve God and you sow the seed of service and water it by chanting, God will give you the sunlight and all the favorable conditions to make that devotional creeper grow. But if you want to become God, you're only cheating yourself. Because why should God help the competition? He said, you can become godly, but you cannot become God. So, I mean, this is a very brief summary of that whole exchange. But that was the turning point. Yeah. And then I surrendered.
I was asking you one more you can share.
One more? One more what?
With memorable moment with Prabhupada. Memorable moment
memorable.
With Prabhupada. We changed more. We changed more. Which made you more serious.
Well, without going into the details, but Srila Prabhupada said, anyway, I'm not going to, there's too much. Have you seen my book, I'll Build You a Temple, The Juhu Story?
I will read from today.
Yeah, no, seriously, there's a lot in there. Enough to answer all of your questions. Yes. Oh, whoever.
Harishna Maharaji, as you mentioned in the class, Krishna Kripa and Endeavor. So you already explained about Endeavor. So Maharaj, sometime I get so much Krishna Kripa in the form of Darshan, in the form of Prasad, but so much Kripa, but I'm not able to use it properly. Then how to use the Kripa, Guru Kripa, Krishna Kripa, how to use in nice way and not misuse the Kripa?
That's a very good question. Yes, we get mercy and we should use that mercy, take advantage of that mercy and not waste it. And the way to take advantage of it is to use that mercy to enrich your spiritual life, enrich your devotional service, enrich your Krishna consciousness. Don't use the mercy for any other purpose. But, use it to increase and improve your devotional service.
And Maharaj, like, if someone misused that mercy, so in like, what should be done in that case?
By the person who misused it or against the person who misused it? What can be done? You mean by the person who misused it?
Atonement, Maharaj. Atonement. Like if someone misused the mercy, so what should be done then, like the atonement? What kind of atonement?
Well, the Nectar of Devotion says that in devotional service, There is no separate atonement or prayaschitta. The only atonement is to continue in devotional service and improve one's efforts in devotional service. But I mean, yeah, you could fast or, I mean, but make it in, do it in such a way that it's favorable for devotional service. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you for a very wonderful class. Maharaj, you are telling about the Parishram and Krishna Kripa. So, this Parishram is depend totally on one individual or there also like Krishna Kripa is required, because the example you gave on Arjuna. So, Arjuna was not ready to fight. But at the same time, you are also telling the for just for credit's sake, Krishna used the Arjuna in that service. So how to understand whether this endeavor is completely depend upon one's individual or there also Krishna Kripa, because of Krishna Kripa one is able to do endeavor?
That's a nice point, that even to endeavor that Parishram, we also need Krishna's mercy. That's true. We can't do anything, even endeavor, without Krishna's mercy. But then when we make the endeavor and pray for Krishna's mercy, we can be successful. Like there's a saying, you should endeavor as if everything depended on you, and you should pray as if everything depended on Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, I have a question related to the book of I Will Build Your Temple. Maharaj, like every Ekadashi in Juhu temple hour, we have the reading of I Will Build Your Temple book of yours, Maharaj. Maharaj, last time there was a class given by Bhima Prabhu, His Grace Bhima Prabhuji, and there was a point in that like at a certain point of time, the agreement of the Juhu temple was cancelled. Like when Shyam Sundar Prabhu and His Grace Tamal Krishna Maharaj, they had cancelled. And you mentioned that they were senior to you, so you cannot do anything in this sentence. So Maharaj, my question is that ISKCON is a huge organization. So there might be some point of time where there would be confliction between devotees, maybe senior devotees like that. So at that time, should we remain humble and depend on Krishna, or should we take one step forward, or maybe maybe raise our voice, or what should be our behavior and action at that point of time?
If you see senior devotees are doing something wrong, you should speak up. It's not that I didn't speak up, I did speak up, but they didn't listen. But I thought it was proper to speak up. It would not have been proper to remain silent and just let them cancel the agreement without objecting. You understand?
One step forward and actually can argue or maybe discuss with the devotee at that point of time, even if they are senior Vaishnavas also.
Sorry?
At such type of situations, we should be approach to them and discuss with them, and we can argue to them also. Is it like that, Maharaj? At such situations where...
Yes, I mean, they're seniors, so you should be humble and respectful. But for the sake of Prabhupada's service and Krishna's service, you can express yourself.
Thank you very much, Mom.
And one way of dealing with seniors is to make your point in the form of a question. Right. Do you think it's a good idea to cancel the sales agreement?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandvat Pranam. Thank you very much for this Hare Krishna land. I want to ask one question, that how can we remain firm in a devotional service when there is a difficulties and many more things, like from within, from outside, and the so many factors which affects. So how can we continue and be steady in devotional service in spite of these factors of which is creating the disturbance and the difficulties on the path of devotional service?
Srila Prabhupada said 90% of Krishna consciousness is association. So the main thing is, if you keep association with it, with mature devotees, advanced devotees, that will help you remain steady. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami gives the definition of sadhu sangha. Of the 64 items of devotional service, 5 are most potent. And Rupa Goswami says even a slight association with any of those 5 can bring one to the highest perfection of life. So the 5, anyway, one of the 5 is sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha, shravana kirtanam, hearing, chanting, murti sharanvita sevana, worshipping the deity with faith and veneration. These are the 5 most potent forms. And he gives the definition of sadhu sangha: swajati ashaye snigde, sadhu sangha swatovare. So, swajatiya, it means like-minded. I mean, literally, it means like in the same caste. For in our case, it would mean someone who's a follower of Srila Prabhupada. Swajati ashaye snigde. And the way Srila Prabhupada translated it is, who has a similar affection for the Lord. But snigde can also be taken, who is affectionate to you. Swajati ashaye snigde, sadhu sangha swatovare. And swatovare means more advanced than you. So that potent item of devotional service is fulfilled when you associate with someone, swajati ashaye, who's a follower of Srila Prabhupada, who is affectionate to you, and who is more advanced than you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandat Pranam. So Maharaj, as you narrated just now, Yasoda Maya did so much hard labor, then Krishna bestowed his mercy upon her. So as we so is it like that, if I am not able to do so much hard labor, then Krishna will not mercy on me?
Well, hard labor doesn't necessarily mean physical labor. It means endeavor. Like when you're chanting, your mind will have a tendency to wander. So you have to make the effort and bring the mind back to the sound of the holy name. So that's also an endeavor. Parishram, and, you know, pray for Krishna's mercy that you can bind him in your mind while you're chanting.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you mentioned about Anya Abhilashita Shunya. So currently, if I see in my heart, there are so many material desires. So now, while practicing devotional service, how to deal with these desires and how to get rid of this so many material desires which are there?
Well, we might have material desires, But we should not engage in devotional service to fulfill our material desires. We should just tolerate them and pray that they go away through the practice of bhakti yoga. Yeah, it's expected that one will come with material desires, but they can be purified by bhakti yoga.
Hare Krishna. I will make a comment. We can learn a lesson from this. When Mother Yashoda left Krishna and she tried to take care of the milk, which was burning in the fire, but then she faced so much loss being away from Krishna. But when she left everything and ran after Krishna in order to catch Krishna, then finally she caught Krishna and she was fully satisfied. So, if one loses Krishna, then he loses everything. If one gets Krishna, he gets everything. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. As you mentioned right now that before meeting Prabhupada, you were a little bit confused to whom you should surrender. And after Prabhupada cleared your doubts, then you completely surrendered to Srila Prabhupada. So there's a similar question in my mind. That time you had only option of Prabhupada. There was only Prabhupada to whom you can surrender. But right now there are many
in ISKCON.
So right now in ISKCON there are many Prabhupada disciples. So how we can decide to whom we should consider as my guru? Because I'm a little bit confused. So can you clear my doubts?
Well, you listen to them and see whose message moves your heart and inspires you. You can also pray to Srila Prabhupada to guide you to which servant of his he wants you to take shelter. Yeah. Pray to Srila Prabhupada. And hear them. See whose message touches your heart and inspires you to do more service and better service.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, make an announcement.
All right.
You all remember this book? I'll build you a temple, the Juhu story. So Juhu Itihas. Every servant of Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Ji should know about this. Without knowing your roots, may not be able to serve the lotus feet of the Radha Ras Bihari. And His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, you remember the year before last on Makar Sankranti, he actually released it online. Now Maharaj is personally present here. Those who want to buy, don't have a copy, or even if you have a copy, now Maharaj, would you like to sign the book?
Yes.
So, the golden opportunity, don't miss it. If you have a copy, there may not be Maharaj's signature. Now is the opportunity to get this book, buy this book and get it signed. The other book you can donate to somebody. So please take this opportunity. And Maharaj is here. And those who want to buy, there's a book table as well as the books are also available near Maharaj. Please come forward and take this book and get it signed by His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj. His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari ji ki jai. Tai Gaurav Premanande.